The Planter's Place podcast is brought to you by Osmocote, the planter's plant food.
My name's Amy Grisak. I'm a garden writer in Great Falls, Montana, and today I want to talk to you about using manure in your vegetable garden. Now, there's nothing new about using manure to grow our vegetables and fruits and things like that. We've been spreading poo on our fields and in our gardens for centuries. But what is new is a fresh awareness of some of the problems we can have by using manure if it's not treated properly or if we apply it too soon and too fresh. So I wanted to go over a few things that you need to consider before you start dumping pickup loads of horse manure in your vegetable garden. Now, I'll have a lot of people ask me, what is the best manure? And frankly, my response is whatever you can get your hands on. There is cow and horse are two very popular ones because they're such efficient manure-making factories. It's really amazing that I feed my horse hay and a whole lot comes out the other end. So those are always all real good. The only problem with horse and manure is they tend to be lower in their nutrient level. And a lot of times weed seeds will come through. Even though cows have four stomachs and process things pretty well, I've still had experience with where a lot of weeds have come through in the cow manure. And the other good thing, though, about horse and cow is a lot of times they're in areas where there's a lot of bedding. And so, especially with horse, so you get the sawdust chips or the straw and things like that, and that makes a really good recharge for your compost. Great organic matter. Now, there's also chicken and other poultry manures. Those are typically high in nitrogen and pretty nice in phosphorus, too. But they can also burn. They have a tendency to burn, so you got to be really, really careful. And sheep and goat are another one that are high in nitrogen and also the potassium, and they don't have a tendency to burn either. And then also one of my favorites is rabbit, just because it's like the perfect little pellet. It's just great. You know, good nutrients on it, but doesn't burn, nice and neat, really doesn't smell, and you know, it's a really nice one to have. Now the question is when to apply. But I think I should talk to you first about the ideal way to apply. The best way to go if you're dealing with manure is to compost it. I know it's so hard when you get in that pickup load of cow manure, horse manure, or anything like that. You just want to get it on the garden as soon as possible. But it's really better if you have the time to be able to heap it in a pile, you know, either add it to your existing compost pile, which will be great. I mean, it'll really kick that thing into gear. Or to create a special manure pile that you're composting and get it cooking. So, because if it goes over 135 degrees, it will kill most of the pathogens like the E. coli, salmonella, things like that that we're worried about. And also knock out a lot of the parasites, even though we don't have to deal too much with the parasites, with the herbivores. It's dog and cat and things like that that you really have to worry about on the parasites. But so get it in the compost pile, get it cooking. If you can't get it up to temperature for long enough time, having the compost pile work over a long period of time also will do the trick. For example, if you get in a load of manure in the spring, it's just too fresh, you can't add it to your garden or you don't want to, make a pile, and by next spring, it's going to be beautiful. So keep that in mind when you're getting a little excited about manure. So the second thing is when to apply it. Now, I like to put things down in the fall because I know it's not going to risk burning even if it's not composted properly. And plus, I don't have to worry about contamination. If it's down in the fall, it's going to be plenty of time. And the recommended rule of thumb between applying a fresh manure or a non-composted one to harvest is 120 days. So that's what, 4 months. So you want that 4 month span so you're not going to have the contamination. You know, so you say you put down manure in April. By the time things are ready to harvest in August, you're going to be okay. You know, if you put manure down in April and you're planting spinach, you may not want to eat that spinach that's ready in May. So it works out pretty well when you follow that guideline. Now, when you're applying manure, I talked to a professor at the University of Cornell University in New York today, and he joked around. He said, gardeners tend to think if 1 inch is good, 6 inches is better. And he said that's not always the case. When you're applying manure, if you side dress it along the vegetables or the plants and just work it in like an inch thick and work it into the soil, that's plenty. If you're adding more, you're going to knock off sometimes the salt levels, because sometimes manures hold on to the salts more. They don't leach through, so then that's going to get into your soil and also affect your plants, which I've had personal experience with, that it has affected my plants. And I've also had friends who've had the same. So side dressing it with about an inch of manure turned in works great. You don't have to go overkill. And then other things that people need to consider too are chickens. You know, as I said, poultry is a good source of manure. It's high in nitrogen, you know, really good for your leafy vegetables. However, a lot of people are allowing their chickens to run around the backyard, and while it's great, they're getting the pests and things like that, you definitely want to keep them out of the garden during pre-harvest. You know, in the spring, late winter, that's fine, let them run. But as things are growing and you're going to start picking, keep them out. Still follow that 120-day rule, because there's nothing less appealing. I mean, I'd even rather eat a cabbage moth caterpillar versus having, say, your spinach doused with chicken poo. So use that manure. Don't let it go to waste. Use it properly, and you're going to be really happy with your garden in the long run.
To learn more from our gardening experts, join the community at plantersplace.com. And be sure to like Osmocote Plant Food on Facebook. Thanks for tuning in to the Planters Place podcast.